evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on Kayak Fishing Radio, the Double L Show. One half of the Double L here, the other half. Chris, how you doing, Chris? What's going on the other side of the wall?
Fine. I think it's a bit noisy.
Well, it'll be all right. That's why it's the farm, so I don't hear anything right now. We seem okay.
Yeah, don't
very good. Well, welcome, everyone.
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Well, welcome, everybody. Chat room's still filling in. Guest in there. You can log in with your Facebook account or Twitter so you can join us in the chat room. And as always, everybody, feel free to give us a call if you got something you'd like to add or chime in tonight at any time. 714-816-4727. Yeah, we got chat room still coming in. LGB, Tom Mattel's there. We got Mr. Crisp up north. He's got to be packing up for his trip to the J-Bay tournament, I'm sure. Chuck Wren, King Rat, Laser, Dennis Barnes. Hey, R. Lee. Hey, Corey's in the house. What's going on, Corey? Hope your dad's doing well.
Same here. We're thinking about you. Wish we were closer so we could do something for you.
Yeah, Corey's father got put in a hospital on emergency surgery while they were down to fish the Jacksonville tournament. So everybody have Corey and his dad in your thoughts. They're out of town, out of place, and then have to have emergency surgery. It's not a good weekend for them, but they've, I think, adjusted pretty well down there. It seems like the people in the Jacks area are helping out, so hopefully he'll have a good, quick recovery and get him back home to North Carolina. So we're thinking about you, Corey. You guys hang in down there. All right. Well, we got a lot of news and upcoming events to cover, and then we'll try to touch a little bit on tonight's topic about lure retrieves. It's kind of carrying forward from last week's show with I had everybody, well, not everybody, I had anybody and anybody who wanted to call in or chat in about the top five kind of lures you like to carry and what you won't leave the dock without having in your tackle box or already tied on. So we're going to keep going with that little theme about some artificial lures and things you like to use. So if anybody, while we're talking here in the beginning about news and upcoming events, if you got something you want to talk about with your retrieves or your lures that you use and how you like to work them, by all means, you can call in, as I already said, or put it up in the chat room, and we'll go with that. So getting
hey,
to
Mark,
our first thing that – yes?
Kind of completely out of order here, but Dennis Barnes just put up the link to Facebook, Heroes on the Water, the New Jersey chapter. Please like them on Facebook. They're only 8 likes away from reaching 100, so hook them up.
There you go, everybody. Well, if you're not friends with them on Facebook, go give them a like. Let's get them over 100 tonight. I'm sure we can do that here. There's got to be 8 of you that haven't liked them yet. So go ahead. Another great HOW organization chapter, I should say, that started up there in the New Jersey area. So great people doing great things. Give them a like. All right, well, let's see. Let us know, Dennis, as it goes. Let's see if we get over 100 tonight before we get out of here. All right, so first and foremost, and we're going to keep going with this, probably getting stronger and stronger as it gets closer and closer, but the boondoggle. So I'll make sure that everybody within listening, either live tonight or on podcast, gets all the info that we can give you on the boondoggle coming up.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
There you go, boondoggle. So as it said, you can check out yakangler.com/boondoggle, Kayak Fishing Radio /boondoggle. We also have a separate forum area on the TKAA website, tkaa.org, also regarding to boondoggle. So for any of you who are listening, and by now everybody should know about it, but if you don't know what a boondoggle is, it's nothing more than a reason for us all to get together and fish. It's no tournament, no entry fees. Just bring yourselves, your kayaks, and join us in the Tidewater, Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach, whatever you want to call it, area, and fish. We got plenty of saltwater locations to fish from, freshwater. We're hoping to have a small impromptu kind of HAL event on one of those days. So we'll definitely show you a good time here, I think, in Virginia. If you haven't fished here before, fall is always our best time. Pretty much all the species that we generally fish for are around and getting better as it goes. So by that time, we should definitely be looking forward to some good action out here on the water. We have Rob Choi and Kayak Kevin have volunteered for any of you seasoned kayak guys to join us out at the bridge tunnel. And we got dog issues right now in the house. Anyway, so mark your calendars, October 5th through the 8th. Plenty of places to stay here. Some people have already started booking their cabins at First Landing. So I know there's only like 9, I believe, available. So I know at least 3 to 4 that have been booked, I know of. So check with First Landing State Park. Anybody that knows the area knows we got plenty of hotels around here to stay in. You won't be missing a place to stay, that's for sure. So check it out. Get all your info. If there's anything that any of us here can do to help you with making accommodations or any questions you might have regarding what to bring or anything like that for us, please feel free to contact us. You can hit me up on Facebook, Chris up on Facebook, or send us an email. Give us a phone call. We'll be glad to help. So come on up and join us for the boondoggle. All right, real quickly, some upcoming events we have locally. I didn't really get any emails this week for anybody out there other than our local area about what's coming up. As always, if anybody's got an event, anything they want to share, let us know. We got listeners from all around the country, so no reason that we got to keep it all here in Tidewater. We'd love to share your events for you and keep the rest of the kayak community aware of what's going on. So we got this weekend coming up here, Wild River Outfitters Demo Day at the State Park on 64th Street State Park. That's going to be a great demo. We have all your major kayak manufacturers at Wild River Carries will be there with representatives from each of those. So you can ask questions, come out and paddle. There's really no entry fee. You got to pay your $5 to get in the park. That just goes back to the park. So come on out. It'll be a good time. 64th Street State Park. It's in the First Landing State Park, same place that we're kind of calling our headquarters for the boondoggle. So come out to the Narrows, as it's called, if you're not familiar with the area. And try out a kayak, canoe, stand-up board, whatever you want. They'll have it there. If Wild River sells it, it'll be on the water that weekend, that Saturday. So. And unfortunately, but fortunately, on that same day will be Luther Cyphers' tournament in Farmville, the Yak Attack Tourney, benefiting HAL. It's a freshwater event. Going to be on, I believe it's Briary and that Lake Wythe. I know it's Briary for sure, but you can also get the information from that from any one of Luther's sites, either his Facebook page, yakattack.us. Great event. I think it's in its 5th year now. Chris and I had made plans to do that. We thought we were going to do that, but I have the demo day to go to, so we won't be able to attend that. So y'all check it out. I know Sean Russell in here tonight. Sean's flying in from Texas to attend Luther's tournament, so that's pretty cool. Got people coming from all over. So if you're in that area of Farmville or anywhere close and you want to check it out, go fish with those guys. Looks like it'll be a good event. Like I said, everything from there is benefiting HAL, so it's another great reason. Robbie said he sucks. Yeah, so Sean's definitely coming. Robbie says he sucks, so we know Sean's coming for sure now. Very cool. Well, Robbie, I'm sure there was more than one seat on that plane you could have got on. There's plenty of kayaks around. So, same thing for any of you listening when it comes to the boondoggle, too. If logistics and traveling and things like that are not making it easy for you to get your kayak, I'm sure if you let enough of us know in advance, there's plenty of kayaks in this area and plenty of people have extras. So don't think traveling, you can't drive and haul a boat or whatever. Just you know, give us a call. Let us know. We got plenty of people around here, so make sure that we can get you in the boat one way or the other. So, yeah, so we got Luther's event. We got Wild River Outfitter. A little further down the road on June 9th, there's another demo day around here. It'll be the Appomattox River Company's demo day. That'll be also in Farmville, Virginia. Same MO as all the other ones. They got the same, you know, everybody's going to be there, all the reps from all the major companies. And anybody knows anything about Appomattox, they pretty much carry everything that you can paddle. So they'll be there helping you out, put you in some boats, and let you try out something new. If you want to upgrade, add another boat to your unit at home, or stand-up paddle boards, those are really taking off, so they'll have all those there for everybody too. So I'll be at that, Chris and I will be at that one together, so come on by Appomattox River Company Demo Day, June 9th in Farmville, Virginia. What else we got coming up here? I got a whole list of quick runs down. This weekend, locally, for anybody, TKA will be having a meeting at Oceans East 2 at 3 o'clock on Sunday. So come on out if you haven't attended a TKA meeting or like to come out. We're going to be talking about speckled trout, red drum, and flounder fishing. So come to Oceans East, and get, always a good reason to get to the tackle shop. You can come to the tackle shop, do some shopping, and check out the meeting. So, yo, local kayakers, come on by Sunday. Gonna be a busy weekend, Chris. Jeez, demo day. We got a concert to go to Saturday night. Wonder if we'll get any time to fish.
Actually, I was thinking about maybe packing some things, taking it over to the new house. Maybe no fishing.
Oh yeah.
Fishing?
Yeah, we're going to do that too. Yeah, Chris and I are about to move. The Double L farm is moving. Not too far away. We're going closer to the water. What are we, a mile from the Bay Bridge Tunnel and 2 miles from Crab Creek Launch? Hello?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, yeah, I'm trying to pay attention to the chat room at the same time.
You got chat room duties? Yeah, I see you got your Toms in there tonight, so
yeah,
very cool.
My Tom is talking, so it's not so bad.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to see Sarah on Saturday.
So we're going to be moving here within the next month, slowly but surely. The house is ready for us, so we're going to take our time somewhat and move in there. We got a little bit of repairs and fix-ups to do, so. But we'll be here every Tuesday night. So, yeah, so we'll be closer to the water, bigger house for us, a little more room, nice backyard. So we'll have all of you over. Everybody's listening, come on over. The day we're moving, I mean, come on over with your trucks and your hand trucks and boxes. And, yeah, come on over. We can use all the help. I know everything that's in the garage. I know all the rods. I know all the kayaks. So don't think serious. Yeah, so, all right. Well, moving along here. Yeah, but we are moving, so we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah,
closer
pretty
to the
darn
water.
Close to Willow Bay. Mm-hmm. Oh, Tommy.
That's one thing about this area. You're close to everything anyway. I don't know where you live unless you live out in Pungo or something here in Virginia Beach. We're pretty
Matthews.
Close to everything, and that's what's going to make the boondoggle a lot of fun, too. In the morning, you can fish Rudy. In the afternoon, you can fish Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel or
Wait
you know, everything.
Minute.
As long as there's no...
What did you say?
What?
What did you say?
The boondoggle?
Boondoggle. 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 What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
All right. Button pressing night. I figured I was going to get a lot of that, seeing we didn't have any special guests tonight. So anyway, what?
We got plenty of guests. Justin is holding with us.
Oh, is he? Okay. Well, we'll get to Justin here in a minute. All right. So Monday actually started a series for the Kayak Fishing Radio Show. The Milk Crate did an interview with all of its hosts. Monday kicked off with what you all probably heard us talk about, the Godfather, Chip Gibson. And then also Redfish Chuck was yesterday. And Chris and mine air today on the Milk Crate. So that was pretty cool. If you guys aren't familiar with the Milk Crate, go check them out. They do interviews with everyone, everything, somewhere, somehow in the kayak fishing industry, from artists to anglers to manufacturers. So a lot of people that are associated with kayak fishing in every different aspect, they've done some great interviews with. And like I said, they did the kayak fishing radio crew, and all of our interviews will be coming out throughout the week. And I guess it's safe to say, just because it's kind of seemed that way anyway, that they're going to come out on the day that the shows air. So Chuck's was yesterday, Double L's was today. So if you guys aren't familiar, go check it out, themilkcratemag.com. So that was pretty cool. It was a little weird for me, kind of hard answering and talking about yourself. I don't know. I don't do very well. So trying to fill out a questionnaire, answering questions about yourself was kind of, it was different. But it was kind of cool. Definitely go check them out. The past two that came out, Chuck's and Chip's, and give you a little insight to things. I know Chip's in the room, so I'm going to talk about them anyway, just because a lot of you out there, I don't know how much you're aware of kayak fishing radio and what it's all, how it started and what's going on, but Chip is the man who started it all. Every one of us here that do this show, we don't really have a, you know, it's a something we do because we love the sport. We love sharing with everyone and spreading the word. Chip started this, and it grew, and he added another night and another night and so forth and so on. And it's just taken off, and I think it's done really well, and I think it's going to even grow more just by the results of what we've seen in the show's history. It's growing every time. I mean, we're up to – Chip had a show recently where he had over 600 and some downloads of his show with Brad from Sunjammers. None of us make anything from it, and Chip pays for it out of his own pocket. So, I mean, it's not – we're not promoted. We're not sponsored. We're not anything like that. So everything that you guys hear and see that the show does, it's all from everybody here that likes – kayak fishing, loves kayak fishing, and from you guys. We wouldn't have a show, I say this every week, if it wasn't for the listeners and you guys that contribute to it. So keep it up. If there's anything you want to hear or see us talk, you know, I guess you can't see anything, but anything you want to hear us talk about or anything you like to cover, you know, shoot any one of us, any of the hosts, any night of the week, something. So we have topics that, you know, relevant to you and what you guys want to hear, because that's what it's all about, the industry as a whole. So I just wanted to take a minute just to kind of give Chip a shout out and all you guys, because like I said, it's been a lot of fun for Chris and I. When we talked to Chip about doing it, we were kind of like, yeah, we'll give it a shot. And we filled the shoes. I hope we're filling the shoes of Rob DeVore, who did it for quite a while, and he wanted to take a break, and there was an opening on Tuesday. So, ta-da, here we are. So, anyway, so go check out the Milk Crate. And make sure you check out the rest of the week shows if you guys haven't already been listening to them. As I already said, Chuck's on Mondays, us on Tuesdays. We got Mark Wheeler on Wednesdays. Chip, who I was just talking about, does Thursday. And on Fridays is our Wild West show that airs at 11 p.m., so it's 8 o'clock their time on the West Coast. And that's Spike and Ike, so you guys go check them out at a chance you get. So, all right, moving right along here. I got all these notes written, and then I scratch stuff in, scratch stuff out. So we're going to fishing reports. Unfortunately, I don't have a fishing report to give you guys, because last weekend my truck was on the fritz, and we had a lot going on anyway. But I do have some fishing reports to give you. As those of you who live around here know, that the big reds and the big black drums are over on the shoals and Latimer and all over on that side of the water. They've been doing real well with them. I'm sure, I don't know who was in here. I know Justin Mayer's on the line, and we'll get to Justin here in a minute, and I'll ask him about it. He had a very big red, I think it was last week. So we're going to get Justin to talk about that here in a minute. That's cool that he's here. So he can tell us about that big red. But, yeah, so anyway, the big reds, big black drum are showing up. Striper season. Right now it's trophy stripers, so it's 132 inches and above. A lot of big stripers out there. I heard some being caught over. Who caught that one? Kendall Larson had one over 46 inches on a fly rod. So there's some still some big stripers roaming around out there. And then inshore, still the same usual suspects this time of year. Flounder, croaker showing up better. Bluefish, Rudy still got a lot of bluefish in there. Speckled trout and Rudy. Elizabeth River still holding some nice trout I saw. So bigger, the better flounder bites still out at the Bay Bridge Tunnel. Oyster and Watchaprig, Oceanside. Obviously, Oyster and Watchaprig, Oceanside. But, yeah, so we got some bigger flounder coming in from over there. So it's getting better. We're finally getting in a nice, consistent weather pattern around here. I do believe that it's going to be a little muddy after the rain we've been having in the inlets here. Gosh, this morning was a real frog choker around here. It poured, and it poured this afternoon, so we're probably going to see some muddy water for the next couple of days. It's going to take quite a few tide cycles to clean all that up. So, but otherwise, I think the fishing is going to be great. Weather forecast for the upcoming days after tomorrow and the remainder of the rain gets out of here looks great. High to mid-70s. So should be time now. Nothing stopping them. So the fish are here. We just got to get out there and get on them. So in between moving and demo days and concerts, we're going to do some fishing too, I hope. So next week we'll be able to give you a better report.
I don't know why you're complaining. We did go fishing on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, we did go fishing on Sunday. We went and, what did we do? What do you call it? I love what you call it.
We went and drowned some worms.
For Mother's Day, she wanted to go drown some worms. Now, how many guys get wives that say that? Let's go drown some worms for Mother's Day. And we buy those worms, and then we drown them, no less. So we pay for them, and then we...
Technically, you know, they got microwaved, like, for 2 months. It was unbelievable that they were still alive.
I wonder why they got those second... Why they had those little appendages and stuff. I thought they were salamanders or something at first. They sat on top of the microwave in the kitchen, so that's what she's referring to. We had a container left over from the last trip. But anyway, yeah, we went to our local little Lake Smith and stood on the banks and caught some bluegill. We had some fun there. I believe Chris out-caught all of us, too.
Sorry.
Her son Dan, persistently his first time with us on the freshwater banks, and he had one fish that kept stealing his worm off his hook, and he did not move until he caught a fish from that spot. So whether it was the same worm stealing fish or not, I don't know, but he felt redeemed because he got to jab a hook in a little bluegill's face and claim him as his. So it was very cool. But yeah, we got to drown some worms, as Chris calls it. So that was a good time. So yeah, that was our Mother's Day fishing trip for the weekend. I was trying to look at the chat room now. I thought you had a.
Nah, you don't want to read flag. Chat form right now. You don't need to read that. That's bad. Tomatush is in trouble.
All right, I'll stay away from the chat room. So anyway, so I think that's it for upcoming. I don't think there's anything else. If anybody in the chat room's got something they want to share, throw it up there in the chat, and we'll make sure to get the word out there if you got any events coming up. Nobody called me or sent us an email or anything about the past of Susan Powell's tournament, so I don't know the results from that we've been posting on here. I know the Big Jacks tournament went down last weekend. Over 400 and something, 405, 420 anglers were at that event. Jay Bay is also this weekend. I guess I didn't say that earlier. So, yeah, we got the Jamaica Bay tournament coming up. I did see that Jacksonville raised over 35,000, something like that. So 400 and some anglers, and they raised over $30,000+ for their event. So good job if anybody in here went to that event. I know D.D. Olson did. I see him in here. I don't know who else might have attended, but good on you. I don't know who won or whatever. I know they said there was only 15 slams caught. I guess the weather was really bad the day of the event. So 400 and some anglers, and they had 15 slams, but that's still pretty cool. We've had tournaments here where we're lucky if we had one slam with the weather we've had. We've had 435 at Jack's. Yeah, we've had minor hurricanes, I think, at times here. So Very cool. All right. Well, we got Justin on the line. We won't let Justin hold any longer, and we'll get going to tonight's topic. We got who else? Got just listening in, looking at the switchboard. Justin, what's going on up there in Gloucester?
Actually, Matthews. I'm even further now.
Oh, excuse me. You're either further north. Wow. I got
you.
Are you getting? Did you get some pounding rains today, like the rest of us did down here on the south side, or how's your weather been?
No, well, I worked in Chesapeake today and drove through it on the way home. If that counts.
Yeah. It was a pretty good day down here. We had a midday. It was nice, but this morning and this afternoon was just. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I saw green skies when I was on the HRBT.
Oh, yeah, we saw somebody posted a picture up they put on the news tonight. Yeah, it was pretty ugly looking going out. Yeah, it was some bad rain.
Yeah, I chased after it and drove through it.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Well, very, very cool. So I was mentioning earlier about the big drum on the Shoals, and I know you just happened to, I think, was that 2 weeks ago now, wasn't it? So tell us about your big red.
Feels about 4 months ago is what it feels like. Think of something like
that. So what'd you catch? Talk to us.
I didn't catch anything. I don't even fish over there. There aren't any fish over there. That's what Kevin wants
me
to tell you.
You put the pictures up on Facebook, so you can't try that crap now.
You could
have tried that with us a while ago, but once you put it on Facebook, brother, everybody knows the social media has got you.
No, I was paddling, and after about three hours of paddling, just trolling, never saw any reds, never had anything, just randomly trolling and hooked into a big red. I really got lucky. And a buddy of mine hooked one and lost it after about 30 seconds, and Rob was out there, and he decided to film instead of cast, so thankful for that. That was pretty cool. He got some good video of me getting pulled around right next to boaters, too. That's the best thing. I love catching big fish next to boaters.
Very cool.
But
yeah,
that's my personal best.
See you out there.
Corey, you say
cool,
liar, dude. Liar.
It was actually between two boats. I kind of went behind one and in between them, and then was headed to go in front of the next, and caught the fish right between the two. And one boat had like four or five guys soaking bait, and they were like, "Whoa, what is this guy doing?" The fish came up, they saw it, and they're like, "Oh, what are you gonna do with it now?" I was like, "Nope, just hold on just a second, I'll show you." Popped it in my lap, and they thought that was the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. Well, congratulations to you. I heard about that day, and I think Rob said he paddled the most he's ever paddled in his life in one day, back and forth along the bridge and stuff. So, well, cool.
Yeah, I think
congratulations.
I left a little earlier that day, and Rob kept at it, and I think he paddled over 25 miles that day.
Is that
a lot?
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot, especially for for nothing to show for it. Yeah, 25 miles and nothing.
Oh,
yeah, that's a lot.
I didn't have to mention that.
What? He mentioned it on here. I don't mind. I'll tell him. He knew. He knows he didn't catch nothing. I'm not telling nothing. That's what he's trying to decide now. That's when you got to decide if you want to be a cameraman or an angler. I had a buddy I used to fish with for years out of the boat, and every time he'd forget his camera, he seemed like we had better days. We see a lot of cobia fishing, and a couple of times he remembered his camera, and we wouldn't have any. He swore it was the camera on the boat. I was like, "Well, I'm not sure if the fish know you have a camera
like a
or not." But yeah, exactly. It's a banana, a camera, whatever your little superstitions are. Then I guess you just
I need to make a banana lure. I'm gonna work on that. If you find any plastic bananas, like little toys or anything, just hang on to them, because I'm gonna turn it into a lure.
Look in the kids' toys. In the kids' toys, they have like those fruit stands. Those kids' fruit stands. You know what I'm talking about? Where they have all these fake little plastic fruits and stuff. I bet you find something.
Oh, in the girls' section.
Hey, what are you trying to say? I thought that's more of a unisex kind of type of toy. You know, the grocery store these days.
Groceries? I'm pretty sure that's the women's section.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Okay, we're going to move along here. We're going to keep this going before we have a... The next thing you know, we'll be using the wife's Tupperware, right, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I...
object report. There's I know you guys are a little far away, but... Oh, boy. Button master.
Yeah, you're getting
there.
A button now. See what you did to her?
Mm-hmm. See what'll happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She knows her place. It's fine.
Oh, no, he did it!
All right,
anyway,
let's do that Mobjack report now.
Mobjack report. There's been some good... Yeah, there's been some good speckled trout caught around Ware Point and Severn River. Heard some reports of puppy drum in the Severn River. I don't know if that means anything to any of you guys, but it's actually an underrated fishery over here.
Yeah, I can remember, and you can, I don't know how long you've been fishing, and over there, Mobjack was speckled trout capital for Virginia for the longest time. I remember when I worked in the tackle shop, and you hear all the old timers, when it was peeler time, when them peeler crabs, the full moon and all that stuff, man, that speckled trout, I don't know if it's like that, like it used to be, but Mobjack it was just... So hopefully that's what you got up there now, or it's getting better, and that'd be great. Maybe we'll have to make a road trip over your way, because I have never fished over there, but I have heard, and like I said, I remember back in the day.
If you want to go for a really, really long haul, as far as driving goes, New Point Comfort is just an awesome place, as long as you don't get there on a weekend, because there's always partiers out on the beach. But during a weekday, just awesome. I mean, you got water, you know, it's a peninsula, so you got water on all sides, and really good flats, and it's just, I love it over there.
Cool.
I know there's a lot of nice reds caught out there last year, which there wasn't hardly any reds anywhere, but there were some nice reds caught around New Point, and always speckled trout around there, too.
Well, that's very cool. All right, Chris. All right. Well, that's cool, man. Well, that's thanks for giving us a report from there, because we don't hear much from that part of the world anyway. And I know, like I said, it used to be a great fishery, and I know there's a lot over there.
It's still the same. It's just people, the guys around there catch fish and want to talk about it. Guys around here catch fish and eat it because they're 90, and that's what they do.
Right.
But I don't eat fish.
Change it. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, maybe we'll see some speckled trout reports coming from you. I figure that, you know, is that going that way? I know there's some north of us now. I won't give any locations away because I'll have one certain nighttime individual mad at me if I start talking. But I know there's trout further north of Virginia Beach, so, and even more further north now than where you're talking about, Matthew.
Just for the record, real quick, we just helped Dennis, the New Jersey Howe chapter, reach 100 likes on Facebook.
All right. Very cool. Well, there you go. We got them to 100. Thank you, everybody. I don't know how many of them came from this show's listeners, but we appreciate it for Dennis. So thanks, guys. Way to go. Good job. All right. Well, I see people in the chat room talking about lures now, so we'll go ahead and switch over. Well, you know what? I'm going to mention this real quick because I had it in my notes and I missed it, and I see that Chuck Wren is in the house there. Chuck Wren, next Tuesday night at the Appomattox River Company's new location in Hampton, Virginia. It'll be the next Meet the Pro night, and Chuck with Hobie will be there. So if you're in our area, once again, go on over. Now, that's Tuesday night, remind you. That's the same night that our show airs. So, Chuck, you need to be done and out of there by 7:30 so everybody can get home to listen to us. If you steal from our show, no, I'm just kidding. You do your thing, man, and congrats to you on your Hobie deal. So everybody go on over to Appomattox River Company store in Hampton next Tuesday night. And check Chuck out there with, I believe he's going to be talking about speckled trout fishing and answer any questions you might have about Hobie. So that'll be a good time. 6 o'clock still, I'm sure, like all the other ones have been. So, all right, so we're talking about some lure retrieve techniques tonight, or just lure retrieves in general. Last week we did top five kind of lures that you won't leave the house with, and then yesterday I got some questions from a guy that's using Aqua Dream spoons, and he was asking me about lure retrieves, and I was kind of like, well, you know what, that's a pretty good topic, because you hear that a lot, and people talk about it a lot, like every lure, you know, how should I retrieve it, or how should I use it? Well, I don't think that every lure, there's a set pattern to it, and Justin, anytime you want to chime in, or anybody here in the chat room, slow, yeah. So, but, I mean, a lot of lures by nature and design have a retrieve that the manufacturer of that lure is supposed to be worked at. You can speed it up, slow it down, add things to it with twitching your rod or whatever. But just for reference in that guy's question, he said he was like just burning them across the grass and his spoons. I mean, spoons in general are meant to be a pretty steady retrieve. Every so often you can kind of slack off on your retrieve, let it flutter a little down, pick it back up or something to that nature. But a lot of times, and with a lot of your artificials, you're going to have to vary the retrieve. You're going to have to set it, you know, to what the fish, you're going to have to find out what they want that day. Not every day is a fast day. Not every day is a slow day. Or you might have to, you know, pop it a couple of times across the bottom. Excuse me?
Those are the days that I catch less when it's not a fast retrieve because it's too much daggone energy.
Yeah.
it's hard for me to not power fish everything.
Yeah, and a lot of that's a species, too. I mean, you know, I couldn't sit here in a half an hour that we have left or so and, like, you know, tell you, well, this lure is that speed or whatever. And a lot of it's the species you're targeting. I mean, for, like, inshore reds and trout and things like that, they're not your fast fish. They're not a bluefish or, like, a Spanish mackerel. They want things ripping through the water. A lot of times you got to tell yourself to slow down. And when you think you're slowing down, you got to slow down some more. I mean, it's just a lot of us, when they get to artificials, we're just ready to, you know, throw it out there, bring it back to the boat and get a fish, or throw it out there, bring it back to the boat and get a fish. And it's not always like that. You got to definitely, you know, you got to change it up too. You can't, no, you know, with artificials, you're mimicking most times another fish, a bait or something like that. And if you've ever watched fish swim, they don't just swim straight and fast all the time. You know, I mean, they, in general, they kind of meander through the water maybe, or whatever you want to call it. So you got to kind of try to mimic the lure to what you're trying to fake that presentation to that fish and thinking it is, if that makes sense. So if you're trying to, you know, if all the mullet around there is doing this and that, you got to try to make your lure look like that. Topwater baits are the same way. It's not always the steady walk the dog pattern back to the boat. Sometimes you walk dog for a little bit, stop, let it sit, retrieve it a little fast, slow it down. There's a lot of different patterns to different lures, so there's no one set way.
Especially on top water, like you're saying, that is crucial. If you just, I know, like I've seen people just go out nights where you just twitch it the same way all night and never have a blow up, but or I'll even get into like rhythms where I'm just like, I don't know, tired or whatever, not thinking about it, and I just keep twitching the same way, and then I do something different, like I pause it and I reach around to grab something or yawn or whatever, and then boom, it just blows up while it's just sitting there. Like, I mean, there's so many different ways that, especially with, I think with topwater lures, that little tiny differences can make the bite happen or not. And it could be a hot bite too.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing with the topwater. We'll just use that now because we bought it for an example. They got to find it and they know it's there because of the rattle, the walk the dog action, but actually cueing in on it. They got to be able to, that you've grabbed their attention, but they also need to find it. Now, they know it's above them. They know it's around here, you know, so to speak, but you got to give them that chance. So that and that's one of the things, and you're right, stop it. I mean, I do that a lot. I'll walk, stop for a second, walk, or even like just do a shorter walk and then back to my normal kind of pattern, skip it around. Because that's a lot of times where you'll get your blow-ups is when that little stop, that little pause, because then he sees it, because with that walking the dog type of lure, you're mimicking a dying or, you know, fish that's injured or something like that most of the time anyway. So for it to pause isn't unnatural either. It's something that fish, as it's going out, you know, it's not going to, you know, it's going to slow down here or there and stop. So definitely.
And sometimes it's the exact opposite. Sometimes it's just you rip it as fast as you can across the top of the water to where it doesn't even seem like it's giving it any action. And works better with like real fast stuff, like you're saying, not as much for puppy drum and trout, but trout too. Sometimes, I've had trout just bust a lure two or three times, and they won't hit it if it's not going fast. But if it is going fast, it's hard for them to catch it. But that's the only way to bite. Just so many different ways.
But the thing with trout is
setting the hook. Is there?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying with the trout. I mean, so many people. I do it still, but it's just an excitement thing mainly. But setting the hook with a trout, any topwater fish or any topwater hit, so many people just yank as soon as they see that explosion. And sometimes some lures you might get it good and it might work out well for you. But 90% of the time, you really want to pause and let the fish actually take it. Or with speckled trout, I use a real light rod, real noodly rod, light action rod, and I just crank down on them. I don't even set the hook. Because if you yank up, you're going to jerk the water, lure the, mainly talking about topwater again, walk the dog stuff, but you jerk the rod out of and back on them, and just your lure flies out of the water and skips 10, 15 feet. And then the fish is off of it now. So if you give them a chance to actually blow up, grab the lure, pull down on it, and then you just tighten up on them, it doesn't take much to set a hook in a trout, especially with sharp hooks. I mean,
right.
I've found that it works way better. It's just a light rod and just reel down on them. Don't even set the hook.
That's right. I'm going to go back to something, but I got some questions here in the chat room, and I want to get to them before they burn by me here. All right, Sunjammer's asking, what do you – a bunch of short strikes on top, what do you do? There's a couple things. If you have slowed it down enough, so we're going back to that, give them time to think. Another thing with the short strike, and I was going to say this a minute ago, with trout, especially with speckled trout, I don't know how many people are aware of this or not, but trout suck a lure in. They kind of have a where they pull the lure in. So when you're jerking, that's like Justin was saying, so when he's coming up behind it, they're actually causing, if I can use the term, a vacuum to pull that lure in. So you've already kind of causing a difficult situation there because you're taking it away from him. You're on top, so he doesn't have that whole lure in the water to cause that sucking action, I guess is the best way to put it. So slowing it down. Another thing, if I'm losing a lot of shorts, I'll go to a subsurface type of top water bait.
Absolutely. I was about to say that. Yeah.
Under the water. Yeah. This gets under the water enough. A great lure now that I've been using a lot for that is the Paul Brown. Any of the Paul Brown lures, because you can also, because of that body, you can kind of bend it and manipulate it to slow down or speed up as it descends. So just get down below the water column just a little, and that's what you're doing. You're creating that opportunity for that fish to do that sucking motion that I was just talking about. So slow down your retrieve, and if that's still not working, try to go this subsurface. Don't get down there. Something like a Miro mullet, which gets me to my next question. I hope that helped. Is somebody asked about changing the treble hooks? Yes. Treble hooks on Miro lures are designed for, not that the, how do I say this properly? The treble hooks aren't made for the lure, but the lure is made to work with the treble hooks that Miro Lure puts on them. I have seen where people say that they find the same weighted single style J hook and they put it on there and it doesn't affect the action. I've never done that. Before I was with Miro Lure, I always got the Miro Lure kits to replace my hooks. They make those lures and they make those lures to work with.
Mark?
I still don't understand how they work.
Mark, we...
I don't know what happened.
Can you still hear him?
Nope.
Uh-oh. Just keep talking. We'll make up something. I have no idea what just happened. Mark?
I'll switch it up to Super Flukes. I like using Super Flukes a ton. The best lure. No, I'm serious. Super Flukes are the best lure ever created. A Zoom Super Fluke, soft plastic with like a 4-aught Kamikatsu extra wide gap. Just most versatile, just ridiculously awesome. Put them on a jig head, catch striper, just amazing.
Actually, we just completely lost them.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. He's completely. We are talking, but Mark is completely gone. Okay, Mark just said from the other room, just keep the show going. So keep talking, Justin.
All right. You have any other callers so we can?
No, you're it.
I don't have the chat room up in front of me.
Everybody else is just. There he is.
Everybody, I don't know what happened. Lost my phone connection there for a second.
Okay, you're back.
Well, I miss anything?
We definitely determined that Justin Mayer cannot run the show without you.
Oh. Oh, man. Sorry about that, everyone. I don't know what happened. My cell phone just, like, I don't know, sunspots, I guess. I don't know. All right, Justin. Well, Tom said this is way of taking over the show.
No,
very cool.
No thanks.
Tom said he's punishing Chris by making her talk to the guy who told Chris to know her place.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, my little dirty trick worked, so let's get back to the topic before we run out of time. So, yeah, I hope that answered the question. I was talking about changing the hooks and everything. I don't. You can try it. I have not, and I just don't. He just had to go.
I don't understand how you can mess up the action on a mirror lure when it doesn't have any.
What's that?
I know people say that. Well, mirror lures, they don't have any action. I just don't understand why they work. I know they do work. I'm not disputing that. I mean, I use them all the time. But people say, oh, yeah, you got to get the certain ones with certain packages because they have that little wobble. But, I mean, what's a little wobble? I don't get it. But they work.
Well, a lot of those lures, though, are – that's the design, though, because you have a suspending bait. You have a suspending sinking. You have all the different – and that's all in – I mean, I could do a whole show, I guess we could do. Maybe we should do that one night about those lures and how to determine, because with mirror lures in general, where the eye tie, where the eye tie is, and that's what I was getting to with the hook. All right, now am I echoing?
No.
Yeah.
Anyway, so a lot of the action of the mirror lure is going to be imparted by you, your rod action, to increase what that lure is supposed to do. Everybody there?
Well, I definitely need practice with them.
There you go. Yeah, well, that was a point I was going to bring up tonight, too, is in learning your lures, a lot of people, when we go fishing, you're not catching something, and, you know, you're just ready to pack it in and go home. That's the times where I like to take out different lures or just the lures that I haven't used in a while or what you just said, to practice with them instead of calling it a day and quitting. Take those lures out and start throwing them. Start learning the action of that lure. Watch it and see what it does. Pay attention so you can practice. I mean, the walk the dog technique. If you don't walk the dog much but you like to learn how, that's the day to do it. The day that you're not catching fish or, you know, when there's nothing else going on out there, or just go out with, you know, a topwater lure that you want to use, whether it is a mirror lure or a skitter walk or whatever the case may be, and start practicing. Start throwing it out there and getting the technique, getting that rhythm down to walking the dog. Or, you know, if you got a flutter hooks, you've never used flutter hooks or something like that for your jerk baits, and you want to try, you know, to see how that lure works, those are the times to try. Don't go out there and try a new lure when you know the bite's good or something like that, because you might not do well with it because you don't know how to work that particular lure at that time. So, was there any other questions we might have missed or anything while I was incognito co-host?
I ain't saying nothing else.
What'd you do now?
Nothing. I didn't do anything.
What'd you do?
What makes you think I didn't do anything? All I wrote was a woman's place is in a kayak.
That's right. We're on the shore drowning worms.
or on the shores.
Light line lures.
Hey,
what do you want to know about light line lures? I might have missed that. I'm sorry if I did. When my phone went out, I took my face away from the screen.
I believe the question directly was on light line lures for striper.
Was it Rob that asked that question?
No, King Rat.
King Rat. T-shirt with a treble hook, a beer can. No, I'm just being funny. If they're eating, I've seen striper hit everything. Top water, nighttime, light line.
For a banana.
Yeah, darker lures I like to use. You can go from top. You can go through the column. If you're fishing for stripers around here at nighttime, one of the biggest things, if you want a bigger striper, which we all do is when we're going out fishing, is to try to get off the top water, to try to get down below. Usually your smaller schooliers fish are on the top a lot of times. So to get down below them, because the older and the bigger stripers get, a lot of time the lazier they get. So they literally, the bigger ones, will be below the little ones who are up top, trashing the bait and eating, and they're down there sucking up the crumbs, so to speak. So
and sometimes a
like
little further back. Sometimes a little
exactly,
further
yeah.
back in the light line. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's
we're
what
not
a
even
bigger
in the light
ones
line. In the shadows a little further.
Right. The little schoolies they aren't that smart yet. They're trying to eat everything they can to get fat like the other ones. So they're usually, like Justin just said, they're more in the light area and more on the top. Down below. Is where you want to go to the bigger ones. I mean, if you're asking particular lures, I mean, any swim bait type of lure, paddle tails, jerk baits work real good. Just getting
not
down there,
jerk
getting past
super
them.
Fluke.
Super fluke. Yeah, I mean, that's a great one.
I need to get sponsored by Zoom because I've been using them for like 15 years.
Send them
yeah,
an
they
email.
Work great because they. What?
Send them an email. Tell them you love their product and see what'll happen.
I guess that's the only way to get it, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the flukes work great for that because they between mimicking the bait fishing, they also mimic a lot of times that little other thing that we all love to use around here, the eels. So you kind of got little two things going on there. Darker lures at night. I've always said that, and I've always, you know, a lot of people don't believe it, but until you've done it, the darker lures cause more of a silhouette. So when that light is shining over top of them, so I will always go darker at nighttime, or at least start darker. One of my better, I guess you could say, has always been like a black with silver flake, whether it's a paddle tail, a fluke style bait, Marshworks, we have our ripple shads in a black with silver flake style bait, so those work really good. I mean, there's always the grand old man of the lure, the bucktail with a little paddle tail on it, or a fluke again, or a piece of pork rind. But that bucktail too, you can get something heavy, so you can get down. Once again, like I was saying, if you're looking for the bigger ones to get down below, light line striper fishing. I don't know how much everybody in this chat room or listening has done, but I mean, you can get out there at night where you can literally take your rod tip and tap them on top of the head and tell them to get out of the way. So you know, it gets pretty thick.
Or your paddle, or
you
your hand, or your foot.
Yeah, you can
or...
pick. You can almost pick and choose your fish out there.
That's what I prefer out there, to be honest. I really do like just. I usually have a 7 foot rod, and I'll pull about 7 foot of line out just so the lure's right around my hand, and I'll set the lure on my hatch and paddle up with paddle against the tide and nose up against the light line and just drop my lure on top of their face.
Yeah, you can get right
and
up
sometimes
on that.
If they're picky.
The beauties of the kayak and, yeah, at nighttime out there, that's the best time for somebody who wants to learn who wants to fly fish and doesn't really fly fish and wants to go catch a striper on the fly. Because you don't have to be a great caster or anything. As long as you can get it out in front of the boat a couple of feet, you can definitely get a striper on there. I mean, that light line. Hopefully we'll have some light line action when the boondoggle happens. We can get some people out to the HRBT. It should be October, beginning of October. We have striper there by then.
I don't think the light line action ever really stops.
No, it doesn't. I mean, down, in the heat of the summer, yeah, July and August, it's not as great. But, yeah, so right now it's really good, yeah. So hopefully we can get some people out there at nighttime who want to get out to the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel or somewhere out there, one of the bridges. Heck, even back in Lynn Haven, there's quite a few spots at the light that'll work well.
Somebody is asking if anybody's used Sebil, S-E-B-I-L-E lures around Virginia Beach, Hampton Roads.
I don't have that kind of money to buy Sebil lures. No, I'm just joking.
I just got some.
Have you used them?
I found them. I guess they switched companies or something. They sold to some jumbo company, like the company that owns Berkeley and everything else.
Pure Fishing? Pure Fishing.
Sure. Yeah, but they were. There's a lot of places that have them on sale now because they're putting them in different packages. So they cut them in, like, I don't know. I've seen them for like $5. And actually, Rob Toy just picked me up one not too long ago at Greentop for, I think that's what it was, about $5.
Yeah, I've never personally used a
Sebil.
Yeah, that's why I was joking. That's why I was joking when somebody asked about Sebils. I wasn't trying to be funny, but they are expensive, like Lucky Crafts and several other ones out there. And for a hard bait, and as much as we throw them around structure around here and all, they get pretty expensive. And the Sebils have been around for a while. They have that fluid, what they have inside of the fluid inside. That was the first thing they came out with. It wasn't mercury, so everybody don't get upset with me. It looked like mercury, and it would slide through the bait. So kind of like our wind cheaters. I don't know if any people are familiar with wind cheaters here or any of your baits. So the fluid would fly to the back of the lure and then come to the front when you retrieved it to kind of help. And I remember when they first came out, because actually we got quite a few donated to TKA for one of our first tournaments in the beginning when they came out. So they have been around for a while, but I have not used one, so I couldn't help you. Yeah, blood. See, he's Gator Dave, he knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, they had the fluid in there, and it was red, and, yeah, it was supposed to be one of those, looked like the fish, but I haven't never personally used them, so maybe, Justin, you get out there and use yours, and you can report back to us about them.
Yeah, I haven't used them a whole lot. I can't really remember if I really caught any trout on them or not. I've used them for trout a few times. If I have caught something on them, it's been one or two. But they're beautiful, and it's beautiful.
Yeah,
action.
Yeah.
And they're definitely, you know, I mean, rattles, not rattles, suspending, sinking. I mean, there's every, you can work every, all the depth column. I mean, I would imagine they would be really good for, I would probably troll one versus a mirror lure and just see what happens. But
yeah,
I haven't put a whole lot of time on with them.
Good point. Somebody mentioned in there, and Tsunami makes a lure with a fluid in it. And I don't know if I'll get in trouble for saying this, but I'll go ahead. Tsunami makes a lot of lures, period. Tsunami makes a lot of lures that are like everybody else's lures, but they're not the same. So don't take this the wrong way, but don't waste a lot of time and money on Tsunami, and I hate to say it like that. But working in the tackle industry for years, Tsunami comes out with stuff, and like I said, please don't take this the wrong way, but they're not as good. The hooks are usually thinner gauge, a lot lighter. They tried to make a knockoff of the Paul Brown style lures. I had some, not very good. So I'm not trying to be critical here, and I'm not trying to say you got to buy this or that, but if you're going to buy something that Tsunami, now they're little soft plastics that are like the Storms that have the plastic with the lead encapsulated inside it. Those are really good, but some of their other lures, I just can tell you from experience and from, like I said earlier, working in the tackle industry, the hooks that they put on them and some of those things are a little lighter gauge, and that's how they do it. That's how they bring their price down compared to a lot of the other makers on the market, and that's why going on the other end of the spectrum, somebody like Sebil, Lucky Craft, and some of those baits like that are a little higher because they put a little more product into them, and that means a lot. I mean, you got to, you know, take it with what you want to pay for them. So, I mean, I'm not saying you got to go out there and spend $1,000 on, lures or whatever the case may be, or the $20 Sebils like we're talking about. But you do get what you pay for. So I just know for a fact that some of those Tsunami things, I've seen the hooks straighten out on them that I haven't seen on other lures of comparable size. So change the hook that if you didn't.
Sunjammers just put up Tsunami Zig Yak Pros are also as good as Gotchas.
Yeah, and they might be. I wasn't. That's why I said don't shoot the messenger. I'm not saying that everything they make is terrible. I've used a lot of their stuff, but I know a few things that I've bought from them and used that the hooks were just not as they were thinner wire, and there's nothing worse than hooking up a good fish and losing it just because of something like that. So just whatever you buy, take a look at it and change the hook. I don't, you know, on some of those things you can change the hook. Something like a metal jig or things like that, you can change them. So don't get mad at me. Everybody say I'm telling you everything is junk. Yeah, I see somebody else. Handful of Tsunami products are okay. The rest is junk. Yeah, so. Just want y'all to beware. Don't go out there. It looks pretty in the store, but doesn't always mean the same thing. So, very cool. Any other questions? Anything else? We're at the top of the hour. I don't want to keep you guys too long. What's going on with Native Boats? Dennis, check out Native Boats. I was reading the chat right
there. Dennis apparently is looking to upgrade to something. I guess he's apparently on Wilderness. I'm sorry. It's flying past me at this point.
Go find a demo day in your neighborhood, Dennis. That's the best thing I tell everybody to do. Find a local demo day and go paddle everything you can before you make a decision. There's
got
to be demo days.
I just got a call today, actually, from Chad, and he wanted me to, or asked me if I would go do the demo days for Wilderness. So I guess I'll be
there
with you guys for Wilderness. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, speaking of, and I'll give a shout-out. I don't know if he's listening now or not. Not to steal your little thunder that you just mentioned. I'm sorry, but it just reminded me that a local guy, Jay Brooks, was just picked up by Wilderness in our area, too. So.
Yes.
Very
that's
cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Good job, Jay.
Good job,
he
Jay.
He was listening
exactly.
in. They were listening in for quite some time. They were late at work, and then somewhere they dropped off. So they were listening in for quite some time.
Even better than a Wilderness System sponsorship, Jay caught a 40-inch red on a chug bug.
How awesome
is that?
Wow.
Yeah, on a freaking chug bug.
Well, they're hungry,
dude.
They'll eat, right?
I think the next day or the day after that, he had another one blow up, same fish blow up on his chug bug three times. A chug bug.
Wow.
A red. A downturned mouth. A 40-inch red hit a chug bug. Rolled on his back and grabbed a chug bug. I've been wanting to do that a long time. It just kind of angers me.
Yeah, and I can tell anybody here listening, and I thought about this earlier, and then I think it was the same time my phone got cut off. I said we're going to get out of here, but then I think of something else. When it comes to that top water, and I'll go back to top water again real quick, if you've never caught a redfish on top water, you got to do it. It's the most fun you can have with top water is a redfish because of what Justin was just saying is a redfish has got what they call an inferior mouth or down feeders. But they will take a top water, and they will try like heck to take a top water, but they literally have to contort their body, turn, and come up and hit it. So you'll get more plugs flying through the air a lot of times than you'll get hookups on reds. But the biggest trick that I tell people is when that happens and you get that blow up and he smacks that thing, unless he really smacks it like a country mile away or something, when it falls to the water, let it sit for a minute. Don't reel it back to the boat and try to throw it back over there again. Sit it down for a minute. Let it sit on top of the water. Wait a second or two. Count to five probably because none of us on the water know time very well. So 1 second to us is probably half a second. So count to five and then start your walk the dog retrieve again slower because he tried to get it. He's still there, and now he's a little angry because he missed what he thought he was going to get. So that retrieving it back, plus you got to remember when he went to attack that bait, he's coming at an angle at it. So 9 times out of 10, that direction he came at it and the direction that top water plug went, if I'm making sense, is the same direction he's kind of going in. Does that make sense? I understand. So he's probably closer to that plug than you think he is a lot of times. He didn't come up and go straight back down. He came at it, and he kept following through a direction. So wait a second and then start your walk the dog again. But if you've never caught a redfish on top water, that is a lot of fun. They beat the heck out of that
thing
to get it. So,
something to give you a really good idea. on what you're saying is a video called Bulls on Top. I'm sure most everybody that's listening probably has seen it already, but I don't know if it's Vimeo or YouTube, but one or the other, just look up Bulls on Top, and that is a ridiculous video. I think it's mostly fly fishing, but even though they're yuppies, they're still doing a good job with catching big reds. That's a joke.
Yeah, I have seen that. You're right. That is a lot of fun to watch them. Well, very cool. All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and say our adieus. Don't forget to check out the Milk Crate. Give those guys some support over there. If you haven't checked them out before, go check them out. Read all the past stories they've had. They've had a lot of great interviews with people in the industry. Even our very own Justin, that's our caller tonight, was interviewed with them. So go check out Milk Crate. that's right. I didn't even think about that till just then, so very good. Yeah, so go check it out. They've got our Spike was on there. I mean, they've got tons of people. So read through the archives, too. Don't just check out what happened this week with everybody from Kayak Fishing Radio. Read through the archives. There's a lot of great stuff in there. So definitely
Absolutely.
Check that out.
Really, they do a really good job with the questions and everything. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they do. It's great work there. Like I said, it's kayak industry all around. It's not just anglers. It's everybody from manufacturers to artists, all that type of stuff. So don't forget this weekend, if you're around our area, we got demo days, we got Yak Attacks tournament. Go give them, you know, go fish with Luther and the gang up there in Farmville. I'm sure there's going to be some great Yak Attack prizes amongst other things. And, of course, you're going to help Hal out. So that's another great reason to go. What else we got? TK?
Talking about how will also have a booth at the demo day at Wild River this weekend. How is going to be present, and TKA is going to be present with the booth.
Very cool. So there you go. So you can come on out, hang out with us this weekend. I'll be hanging out, obviously, with the Native gang over there, putting people in Native boats. So if you come, stop by Native, say hi to me. And that's about all I think I got. If I missed anything, I'm sorry. Remember, everybody always...
I was just corrected. POL, Pirates of Lynnhaven, will also have a booth at the demo day this weekend.
Okay. Well, there you go. POL, TKA, Hal, and Kayaks. What else could you ask for? And it's supposed to be 75 and sunny Saturday, so come on out. All right, very cool. I might go early enough, and we might fish a little before. So hint, hint, anybody want to show up early before the demo day, let's go fish. All right, so we got all that covered. Real quick, thank all. I'll give you a real tip, and I know I'm going to get going because people are starting to leave, and it's after 9 o'clock. If you want to do the usual wilderness thing, because I've been doing these demo days for years, and you want to be like Chad, you wait until right before the demo day and you let Chuck, the rep, and everybody that works there get all the boats loaded on the beach, and then you miraculously show up right as the demo starts. Or you can score points and get there early and unload the truck and do the right thing and help your rep out and get everything set up. So it depends on how you want to do it, Jason. But Justin, but for my experience, it's probably best to get there a little early and help out. But I know a couple of guys that like to show up right when the demo starts, and then they get going. So, yeah, because it's a lot of work.
The demo starts at 9, right?
10.
Not 10. It starts 10. At 10, see? Yeah, Chad told you to be there at 9 because he wants you to help. He's going to show up at 10, see?
I don't mind working. I do it for a living.
I've been around the block for a while. This ain't my first clam bake, so I know what goes on out there. So yeah, so demo day this weekend. Come on out, everybody. I think that's it. So we're about ready to get out of here. Thank all my sponsors, Chris and I, Hook One, Columbia Clothing, Native Watercraft, Aqua Dreams. Thank all of you listeners, everybody listening now, podcast, chat room guests. Thank you for being here. Thank you for contributing. Like I've always say, if it wasn't for you guys, obviously we wouldn't have a show. So keep up the great work on your end, too. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy doing it. Tom and Tom, you guys seem to have behaved tonight, so let's get out of here before you do something that we're going to have to get you a flag for. Thank you, everybody. Chris, do your thing.
Good times.
Tight lines, everybody. Remember, safety, safety, safety. Take your children fishing. They're our next generation.
baby is only 3 months old.
Good night.